Tonight, we're on lesson number 5 in the series of The King is Coming. Tonight, we have two lesson aims, and I'll read them to you. Number one is to know that the Antichrist will be revealed in all his wonder-working power after the rapture of the saints and the taking away of the Holy Spirit. If you have the book, you can see that our lesson theme tonight is, Who is the Antichrist? The application to that statement that I just gave you is, accept Christ as your Savior, and you need not fear the deception of the Antichrist. You won't be deceived if you're saved, basically. A, you won't be here, as we've already talked about. So it's very important, as we said this morning, it's very important that you're ready to meet God. It's not something to play around with. Yesterday at the SkyTrain, and I only say this because I pray that this individual was even convicted even last night. My wife handed a gospel tract to someone yesterday. I think I'm out of seeds. They're right there. And he got about 3 or 4 steps away from her, and he yelled back at her, Hey! She turned around, and he tore it up right in her face. Threw it to the side. Well, if he knows what that was and did it knowing what it was, he's in grave danger. Grave danger. And the Bible tells us that in the last days, scoffers will come. But shortly after that, she met a bus driver by the name of Cyrus. How about that? Doesn't that take you back a few years? He said, I'm the king. No, he didn't say that. Speaking of Persians, he's obviously Persian with a name like that. I guess not everybody named Cyrus, but anyway. And he said to her, he said, I'm a Christian. He said, can I have more of those? I want to have them on my bus. So I hope nobody from TransLink is listening, because I'm not sure they're supposed to have tracks on their bus. But if you meet Cyrus and he's got hope tracks, you know where he got them. So, you know, some people tear them up. Some people say, I want more to hand them out. Our job is not to be concerned about either one. I mean, praise the Lord for the one and sad for the other one. I'm just saying, somebody like that that goes into eternity, the Antichrist will have a heyday with. I do not say that gleefully. But the Antichrist will have a heyday with that man. Second aim is to be reminded that we are to look for the Savior. And I hope you notice something in all of these lessons. We've been mentioning that type of thing at least probably once every week, looking for the Savior, looking for the Savior, looking for the return. The application is live just one day at a time. Do your best for Christ moment by moment. The rapture may occur at any time. And as a child of God, that's how we should live. Could be today. Could be before we pillow our head tonight. And may we live our lives to honor and glorify him. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I would imagine you found it by now. Verse number 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. He beseech you. Paul says to the Thessalonians, I'm begging you. And he says, I'm begging you because of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. That ye be not soon shaken in mind. Now, verse 2. Now remember, this is written to a church. These are the epistles, and this is one of Paul's epistles that are written to Christians. Okay, they're not written to the lost people. They're written to saved people. Like, if you're saved tonight, this is for you. Even though you're not from Thessalonica, it is profitable for you. But in this time, he's writing back to this church, and he's saying, don't be shaken, don't be troubled, verse 2. Neither by spirit nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. And we might say the day of Christ is still at hand. Verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Skip down to verse 7, please. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed. You notice the word wicked is capitalized. So this is talking about, obviously, a specific individual. Whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of who? Satan. So you can connect that word Satan up to the word wicked. This is the Antichrist, wicked, basically, under the control of Satan, verse number 9. With all power and signs and lying wonders. Remember, Satan always tries to copy what God does. Not only does he try to copy it, he tries to destroy it as well. We've mentioned these over and over again, the three institutions that God created. The first institution is what? In order chronologically. Yes, he did create the Word of God, but we're talking about the three institutions. That's not first, but that's one of them. What's the first institution? The home, marriage. The home, Genesis, right? God created the home. This is not man's idea. This is not Pastor Turner's idea. It's God's idea. That's the first institution that God created. It was the home. And then what did he create? The church. This was God's idea. Jesus Christ started the church with himself and the disciples. It was empowered at Pentecost, Acts chapter 2. And then the third institution. I can't hear you, Brother Kim. Government, if that's what you said. I don't know. Sorry, I couldn't hear you, Brother Kim. Yeah, he created government. This was God's institution. By the way, government was meant for a protection for people. Romans chapter 13 tells us we're to be subject unto the higher power because it was designed by God. And so, anyway, Satan attacks all three of those. But that's something to remember. Those are the three institutions that God has created: family, the home, the church, and civil government. Verse number 10, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not, notice this, they received not. Maybe you want to underline those words, received not. And then maybe you want to write down in the margin of your Bible, John 1:12. Because here's what John 1:12 says. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. John 1:12 is where you want to live. That's where you want to be. That's where I want to be. You don't want to be 2 Thessalonians 2:10. Because here it says what happens to those that don't receive. It's your choice. It's the choice of 2.5 million people in the greater Vancouver area. Either be John 1:12 or be 2 Thessalonians 2:10. At the end of the day, that's what it boils down to. There's really a lot. We could fill in a lot of other things. But this is the main crux of the matter. And I hope and pray that you're living in John 1:12. Because that's the ticket to heaven, John 1:12. But as many as received him, who's him? Christ Jesus, the Lamb of God who was slain before the foundation of the world. But as many as received him. But here it says, Paul says, these they received not the love of truth. Love of the truth. That they might be what? Saved. There it is. Acts 16:31 is a great verse to have in your memory bank as well. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. The Philippian jailer said, you remember the questions? We learned that today at the nursing home. Philippian jailer asked a question. What must they do to be saved? And the answer was very simple. But you know what Satan's done? He's made it very complicated. The answer is simple. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. Satan says, no. We're going to mix in religion. We're going to mix in pride of man, because surely it's not that easy. It's not that simple. Only Paul said, because they believed, they received not the love of the truth, then they will be deceived. You see that in the beginning of verse 10? With all deceivableness. The word anti means against. And we've already laid the groundwork that the Antichrist is definitely against Christ. He will be a man, as we just read, of great power. He will be a man of great authority. And he will be a man, as this text says, verse number 9, who is under the power and control of Satan himself. The Holy Spirit will have been taken out, because all believers will have been taken out. And the Antichrist will have this 7-year period of time between the rapture of the saints and the revelation of Christ. And that's when Jesus does have his second coming, if you will. This time it's not just in the air. This time it's all the way down on earth, if you will. We know this as the tribulation. So what is the purpose of all of this that we've just read about? It's not going to be pleasant at all. There's nothing good about it. It is the entire working of Satan, who is all about destruction. Everything that Satan does, that Satan is doing right now, involves destroying. And he destroys those three institutions. First and foremost. And Satan wants to rule. Satan wanted to rule over God, and God said, that's not going to work. Because I am Almighty, I am the one true God. And the I wills of Satan left him from being number one in the angel realm to being Satan. So he still wants power. He still wants authority. Because again, it's about pride, isn't it? So this man, whoever he will be, is going to be powerful, but not all-powerful. Look what the text says. Verse 8, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his what? Mouth. Now remember, that's a pretty powerful word we have. You know how powerful it is? Let there be light. That's pretty powerful. It's not like he had anything to begin with. In the beginning, there was only a who? God. He created the firmament. He created the animals. He created the seas. He created water. He created the mountains. He created everything. How did he do it? The power of his mouth, by his word. So he's still all-powerful, just in that way. And the Bible says here, this is what will happen. Satan will use a human being, like this morning, if you remember from our lesson this morning, he will use a human being just like he used Judas Iscariot. This day is coming. Number one, in the outline, we have we see his names. Notice in verse 3 of our text, he is called the man of sin, the man of sin. Secondly, he is called the son of perdition, son of perdition. Turn over to Daniel chapter number 9. Daniel chapter number 9. And we're going to look at verse number 26. Daniel 9:26, and then we'll be in another verse in Daniel as well. Daniel 9:26, his names. Who are we talking about? The Antichrist. Remember, Antichrist, against Christ. Is he alive today? I have no idea. But I'll tell you what is alive today. The spirit of Antichrist is alive today. It's been alive forever. And it's alive and well on planet Earth. And it's anything that opposes God as Antichrist. Verse number 26, God's word reads, and after 62 weeks. Shall Messiah be cut off? 62 weeks. Shall Messiah be cut off? But not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and sanctuary. And the end thereof shall be a flood. And unto the end of the war, desolations are mined. Desolations are determined. Notice, if you will, here we have the prince that shall come. Speaking of Antichrist. The prince that shall come. Turn over one page in your Bible, or maybe two, to Daniel chapter number 11. And verse 36. Verse 36. And the king shall do according to his will, and he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods. That would be Jehovah God right there. And shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished, for that is determined shall be done. Notice it says that he shall do according to his will as a king. So he's basically setting himself up as the king of the world. Not just the king of a country, but the king of the world. And he will act like a king would act, doing everything that he wants to do. And notice it says here, he will basically say, I'm better than all of the gods. So notice he's going to attack not just the one true God, but if you notice in the text there, that word God is not capitalized. So it's not just a matter of saying, I am above the one true God, who is the highest God, but he's basically wiping out all religion and all eyes on him. So all of the small g gods, they're done now too. All eyes on the king. I'm talking about the Antichrist. Okay. In Revelation 13:1, he is referred to as a beast rising up out of the sea. So the son of perdition, the man of sin, that was in 2 Thessalonians, the prince shall come, Daniel 9, Daniel 11, a king who will do according to his own will, but it's only a limited time. So that's his name. Secondly, is his characteristics and his work. The Antichrist will be empowered and energized by Satan. He will do signs, wonders, and miracles. And I mean, he will entertain. A lot of times, I mean, people do are attracted to that, aren't they? We need to be very careful. We have the Word of God, don't we? Aren't you glad you have the Bible tonight? And so, yes, in the early church age, God empowered the disciples to do many things that we no longer need in 2026. Why? Because we have the Bible now. They didn't have the entire written Word of God when the early church started. And you see things that were happening, and then they just ceased from happening. Because I believe they were short-term sign gifts. That's not the message tonight. But it has to do with what he's going to do. He's going to revive all these signs and wonders and so forth and so on. And it's going to be very intriguing. It's going to be very appealing, if you will. But he will be against all that is called God, as we mentioned a moment ago. Let's go back to 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. He will be against all gods, heathen gods, the one true gods. All religion will be under his feet. And he's got one thing in mind. Maybe Brother Kim, maybe you could help us if you could. Do you need some help, ma'am? Can we help you? We've got a class for kids, if that would help you. Thank you, Brother Kim. Maybe let her know about the nursery. She can sit in there too. 2 Thessalonians 2:4. who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. He has one goal in mind. Thank you, Brother Kim. He has one goal in mind: to prove to himself even and to prove to the world that he is God. Revelation 13:7 says that he will be a man of war. This will be the natural element of the beast. Satan has chosen this man because he will lead the armies of the earth to bring them together at the last battle, once and for all, the Battle of Armageddon. Let's go to Revelation 13, please. Revelation 13:8, and all that dwell upon the earth shall what? Worship him. We covered this verse last week, if I remember as well. Whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So he will be worshipped. He will be praised. He will be magnified, if you will, for a period of time. Even in our world's history, we think about world, even in the smallness of world history, we think about how one nation can be, with a small minority of people, one ruler, one leader, can really cause and wreak a lot of havoc. It doesn't take much, and I'm talking about in today's type of thinking, and even going back into World War II and so forth. I'm only mentioning this to say that when we're talking about who we're talking about tonight, we're talking about someone empowered by Satan himself. He'll always know what to say and when to say it and how to say it. And again, that word that we don't really use in our 2026 language, deceivableness, means everything that comes out of his mouth is going to be a lie. You know why? Because he is the father of all lies. We read that. I believe it's John 8:44, if I'm not mistaken. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning. The truth did not abide in him, and I've paraphrased that a little bit there. You know, all of these things, as we consider the Antichrist, I think it's good for us to know a snippet of all of this. I don't really need to dig deep into a study on the Antichrist specifically, but I need to have an overview. I need to know a little bit about what's going on. Why? Because it helps me to be more soul conscious. Because do you know someone that you love that right now is an unbeliever? Anybody know any unbelievers in here tonight? People that aren't saved? I'm not trying to be unkind, but if the rapture happens tonight, it's not going to be nice. Even people that we don't know, I mean, aren't we supposed to love people? Strangers even? I think we are, aren't we? We have God in us. His spirit is love. So I'm talking about our fellow man. I can't think of anybody, honestly. You say, yeah, well, Pastor Turner, there's some really wicked people. They deserve it. Okay, come on now. Look in the mirror. Well, I'm not that bad. Okay, all right. You lie one time, you're a liar. You commit one murder. Oh, I've never committed murder. Yeah, but if you look at someone with hate, you can commit murder without even picking up a knife or a gun. How many of us have committed murder? Don't raise your hand, okay? Woo, the cops just pulled up. Police, sorry, excuse me. In all seriousness, I mean, I think it's good to talk about this even for if there's somebody here who's not saved. I hope you're not just zoning out and taking a nap. Because this is the Bible. It's the Word of God. I'm telling you your future without looking at your palm. Okay? Man, on my way to church and on my way home today, there's a sign in the yard on Caribou and Gallardi. And it's like this palm reader. It's been up there now 2 weeks in a row. I mean, there's a part of me that wants to pull over. Sorry, I won't do that. I don't want to destroy property, okay? But I prayed about it, not about doing that. Sorry. I prayed about it today driving by because it's just, wow, okay, there's a yard sign that's basically deceiving people. It's got deception written all over it and satanic and everything else under the sun. So this is the future of those who do not receive. Remember that verse? Do not receive the love of God, but as many as received him. You know, I remember as a 9-year-old boy, having heard the gospel for 9 years, and even when I was in the womb, I probably heard the gospel. I'm just telling you my testimony, but at 9 years old, I finally recognized this gospel was not just for the whole church. It wasn't just for this whole sea of people. I needed to make this gospel about me. But as many as received him. I wasn't part of the many. But at 9 years old, April 1983, coming up on next month, that'll be however many years that'll be, 44 years, I received Christ as my Savior. Now, did I know everything there is to know about, you know, redemption, sanctification, glorification, No. Those are important things to learn. You know what I did know? I was a sinner. I had no question about that. I knew from the Bible that sin was anything that went against God, and I had done things many times against God. Then I also recognized that sin had a penalty. Romans 6:23 says the penalty of sin is death. And as a child, I'm not saying I'm no one. I mean, anybody can be saved. They can understand these things. Be convicted of the Spirit of God. Yes, we need that. That's part of salvation. No conviction, no conversion. But we have to have the truth first. Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The truth sets us free. John 8, I believe, 32. I might be off on that reference. Then I knew that from the word of God that Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And at 9 years old, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I'm so thankful that for the last 44 years, I've not had to worry about facing the Antichrist. It's not going to happen. Not for me. But you know what? It's my responsibility as a child of God, not a pastor. It's my responsibility as a child of God to be a soul warner. I can never win anyone to Christ, but I can warn as many people as possible. You don't need a pulpit to be a warner. You just need this, or Marine just needs hands. She can tell people, Jesus loves you. Yeah, Jesus loves you. So even Marine, who's deaf, God bless her, sitting over there tonight, probably grabbing about every 5 words I talk so fast, trying to be a lip reader back there. But she knows Jesus loves me. She can just use her hands to tell people that. You and I, that have a voice, we need to be a little more like John the Baptist. He said, I'm a voice of one, I won't say it too loud, but crying. He wasn't crying. He was lifting his voice, saying, Behold, the Lamb of God, who taketh away the sin of the world. You know, John lost his head over preaching. He paid a penalty, he paid a price for speaking the truth. The rapture might come at any time. There's nothing to hinder the return of Christ for his saints. We must be looking for the Savior. It will be a thief in the night. Let's turn to 1 John 2. We'll be almost done here. 1 John 2. Thank you for listening. May God help you. May God help me. Yes, we need to know a little bit about this kind of stuff, and I'm all for it. But you know what? It ought to motivate us. It ought to motivate us to be better witnesses. Why did the Holy Spirit empower the people anyway? Acts 1:8. Not to speak in tongues. He empowered them to be a witness. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. That's why you and I have the Holy Spirit of God. One of the big reasons why is to be a witness. 1 John 2:18. Little children, it is time, it is the last time, and as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, you've heard about it, even now, this was written thousands of years ago, but it's still like the newspaper that, well, I guess it stopped printing, anyway, the online newspaper. Even now are there many antichrists. Do you know some of the antichrists that are in our world today have a steeple on top of their building? What? Yeah. Because if they're preaching a gospel other than the one that says Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and he's the only way to heaven, then you know what they are? Antichrist. I submit to you the biggest problem we have in the world today, or I shouldn't say that because there could be one bigger, but one of the big problems we have in getting the gospel out is places that say we're a church, but they're really the spirit of Antichrist. That's a huge, huge tool of guess who? Satan. You probably knew that already, but I'm just reminding you. Now, that doesn't mean we're going out on a war path, because our battle is not against flesh and blood. Okay, we're not going to go out and start picketing in front of churches that don't preach the gospel. That's not what we're commissioned to do. But our battle is with principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world. But guess what? Satan doesn't want to wake up anybody that's, hey, just let them keep preaching that false gospel for another decade, for another century, for another whatever. Just let them keep it up. That's the many antichrists. That's one example of an antichrist. False Christ. Against Christ. Christ said, if I be lifted up, what will happen? He will draw all men. Lift up Christ. Not lift up a church. Not lift up a religion. Not lift up a man. Lift up Christ. Not lift up tradition. Now, I mean, we have an order of service. We do some things by tradition. But we're not sitting up here saying if we don't follow this order of service, then it's not a good service. No, we're not saying that. The tradition of men, the Bible says, beware. Whereby we know. I love those words, we know. I like what it says in Romans 8:28, and we know. All things work together for good. Maybe you ought to do a Bible study on the we knows of the Bible. Here's one of them. Many antichrists, we know. What do we know? We know that it's the last time. Will it be in my time? I don't know. Will it be in your time? I don't know. I don't need to know. I have enough information in the Word of God, truth in the Word of God, that I still need to apply to my life to be found faithful. I'm not saying I'm not faithful, but I think if we applied everything that we knew faithfully already without learning anything else, wow, we would be labeled super Christian. It doesn't mean don't study and don't learn more. That doesn't mean it, but it's the application. So what is the application tonight? Should we dig deeper into the Antichrist, who it is, what he is, and all that? You know what? If you want to do a little bit more, fine. But that, to me, is not the application. The application is tonight. We need to keep our lives right. We need to keep our heart right. And we need to keep our eyes on the Lord. And we need to keep our heart open to share the gospel and be a witness with as many people as we possibly can, because we know what's coming. Not for us, because we're saved. But it's coming for the lost with a deceivableness that will be the greatest deceivableness of all time. Nothing compared. Let's pray.